Texas, capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker's Stand, and it's been kind of a hectic morning this morning. I thought it was going to be a light morning for workouts, but wrong again.
That's okay, honey.
Yeah, at least I'm consistent. But we had, I don't know how many work we had, but I had about 45 yesterday and 45 the day before, and I said, it's got to be light today.
It wasn't
like today, no. But Harold Reed's here. Harold's still out there tracking and clocking. And
yeah.
He's our track man. And Matt Howard stopped by, and he helped out. And so between the three of us, we didn't mess up a whole lot of them.
Well, that's good. Susie's out there on her pony.
Yeah, Susie's out there on Rock. That's
Rock.
A good pony.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah, he's an old thoroughbred, and as Susie says, she's an outrider here, and she makes her job easy because she sees him before the horse sees him before she does, you know.
Yeah, he knows what to do. He's a wonderful horse.
We had a little excitement this morning, but everybody survived, and we had a little collision down on the lower track, but everybody seems to be okay.
Oh, good.
Here comes some jock up here now. No, that's Jerry. Anyway, well, what are we going to do today? Melvin Kendrick's going to stop by at the top of the hour. Melvin, I don't know how long I've known Melvin. Long and he'd like to know, remember, I think. And here comes Dr. Doug Byer right now. He's early. And who's that with him?
I don't know.
We'll find out. I guess he'll introduce us. Unless he's ashamed.
I don't know.
Unless he's ashamed of us.
He might want to show better judgment.
Yeah, anyway. Well, Melvin's going to come by. Of course, here comes Dr. Byer. Michael Blowen. Byers, yeah. And Michael Blowen from old friends. Steve Moody, author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, is going to give us the winner of the Ashland Stakes today. And I hope he does, because I haven't picked a winner in 20 years. If we get to do a little history, if we have time, I'm going to look at the champion two-year-old filly in 1957. That would be Edoon. And, of course, Jackie's got her announcements that we'll get him working here sometime along the line. Hey, Doc, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
You want to sit down and talk to me?
I don't know. Michael's not here yet, so there'll be a huge void.
You're a huge void without Michael? Well, he's coming.
Yep, I mean, I'm used to getting one word in out of nine.
Yeah, who's your friend?
This is Ron Wallace.
Ron, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right.
Well, sit down.
Sit down, Ron. It's dangerous to walk in here. You'll end up on the air. Yeah.
Ron's a longtime friend of mine, and he has a company that he ventures out with called Equine Farm Management. So he helps people build up farms and design them and run them. And he doesn't run the farms per se. He gets them set up with employees and does their job searches.
Yeah.
How's
that kind of been? Sit closer here. We can hear this mic for me. Ron, have you been busy? I mean, as far as around here, you know, the way the economy is, I'm just wondering about that.
It's real quiet right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just finished building two farms and there's no new ones on the horizon right now.
You did fill two
last
here?
Last year.
Okay. Where were they?
One in Paris and one in Versailles.
Well, I live down in Paris. Where's the one in Paris?
Over by Indian Creek, Redmond Farm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that.
The one that was in the Keeneland magazine. Did you see the cabin in the Keeneland magazine?
I haven't had a chance to read that magazine yet. I did. I just picked one up, I think, day before yesterday. Glanced through it. Yeah, I saw that.
A pretty nice farm.
Yeah.
For Florent Couturier, Frenchman. He's a real nice guy.
Who had that farm before that?
It was a cattle farm.
The what now?
It was a cattle farm.
Oh, a cattle farm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is Redmond. What Redmond is that now? Has everyone's got a doctor? I mean, daughter that's a vet?
No, it's Redmond Road is where the farm is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's the reason he bought there, I guess.
And the owner is Florent Couturier.
Oh.
He's a Frenchman.
Obviously.
Real nice guy. And he bought the farm across from Indian Creek. He used to be Indian Creek client.
Oh, okay. So he bought something close to.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dave Santon had a farm out there.
Right.
Yeah. Is that the farm?
No, it's on the other side of Indian Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got good neighbors.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely a nice neighborhood. Yeah. Very good. Well, I'd love to keep you. I'd love to see you busy.
Yeah, so
see more
I.
people moving in.
We
you
need
know.
more owners.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, maybe the economy will come around here one of these days.
You got somebody telling me on the way out here interested in getting something set up in Florida. I said, don't you need to have them get set up in Kentucky?
Yeah,
get our base a little bit wider.
Well, so you'll do it anywhere though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so yeah, mostly based here.
Mostly here. How long you been doing this?
Oh, I started this in 94.
94?
I left the big farms and just decided what I was doing, if I could just share it with the little farms, it might be of use.
Yeah, who'd you work for here?
The last big farm was Judmont.
Okay. You work, yeah, I mean, you, while you were, you got a background in the horses.
Yeah, I've
with
been,
horses.
He managed Judmont before Garrett came in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been in the horse business for 30, 35 years.
No, well, you're a newcomer. How'd you meet this guy?
Met him at my first job here in Kentucky in 1980.
Is that right?
I was at Spindthrift, yeah. And he came up, you were still with the University of Georgia.
Yeah, yep. There was a Seattle slough colt that had a blood bleeding, blood clot disorder.
Now, you remember this from 21 years ago?
I do. I do. It was longer than that.
30.
Longer than
30
that.
30 years.
Yep, nope.
In 1980? Yeah,
yeah,
it was. Yeah. So you tell.
Yearling out of Marshall.
I went to Russell Cave. That's how they taught math.
It was a magnificent yearling out of Marshall was Dancer, and that's how I met John Williams and got all connected with all of that crowd. You know, the Spendthrift crowd was kind of that Irish infiltration.
Oh, yeah.
And
Porrick and Aveen Campion came out of there?
Yeah, Ron had to work green every day.
I was with Porrick.
Did you work with them?
Yeah, Porrick, Rick Nichols, John, yeah, all of them.
John was the master
at
getting good help, wasn't he?
Oh. And he'd work you when he got you. You know,
he was.
John was.
Oh yeah, it was a great start. That was my introduction to Kentucky.
Is that?
So it was a great place to start.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a Westerner.
Out Western. Never been across the Mississippi till I moved here.
Is that right? And you came in and went to work for John Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when you didn't move back. Because he would work in
there. Yeah. No, it was a good
John's a great guy.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Fond of John, you know.
He's one of my best friends. I just admire the heck out of him. And
well, he and Lee Eaton, you know, started the sales company, you know,
right.
Eaton Sales.
Right.
And you talk about two good horsemen now.
Yeah.
Have you ever I don't know if you ever ran Lee much.
No, I met him. That wasn't around him.
He
much.
Used to drive the blacksmiths crazy. He'd stand right there and watch them, you know, go getting these yearlings, you know, and they'd put that foot down. He'd look at it and says, I want you to hit that inside right there, you know. Just one more lick with a rasp, you know. You could see him burning, you know. But by God, when he was through with them, they looked good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd say John wasn't too far from that
no,
either.
No, John would be in the same school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the reason they got along so well. Lee was a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Yeah, bless his heart. You know, I was very fond of Lee, too. Well, I got to take a break here.
All right.
And good deal.
That means he pays the bills.
That means I got to do a commercial or two.
Okay.
Take care of my friends out of Claiborne. They've been friends for a long time on this show, too, hadn't they? Yeah. And the other show that I had, too. Well, public has sired 10 grade 1 stakes winners in the USA, and that's why his sales yearlings have sold for an average of over $216,000. Listed among the 10 are Tappet, Sky Mesa, and Stroll. Tappet's advertised stud fee for 2011 is $80,000. Sky Mesa's is $30,000. Stroll was the sire of 61 foals in this country before his departure to Europe. But from those 61 foals have come a champion two-year-old filly, 6 stakes winners, and 2 graded stakes winners. Well, of course, he's back at Claiborne now, and his stud fee is $7,500. due when the foal stands and nurses. He's the sire of Van Leer Rose, champion two-year-old filly of a year in Canada, winner of Grade 3 Stakes there, and of Afternoon Stroll, winner of the Grade 3 Appalachian Stakes at Keeneland. 6 stakes winners plus 2 others that have placed in stakes. That's better than 13% stakes horses from foals. Stroll won Grade 1 Stakes at Churchill, graded stakes at Saratoga, Belmont, and Calder, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Bob and John is a Grade 1 Stakes winner of $996,330. He won the historic Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He's one of more than 90 stakes winners, sired by Seeking the Goal, one of the most successful sons of the great Mr. Prospector. And he's out of the graded stakes winner in Grade 1 Place Minister's Melody, a daughter of two-time leading sire and sire of sires, deputy minister. Broken Vow has sired 33 stakes winners, including graded stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial, and over 70 stakes horses. In fact, a remarkable 16% of his runners have won a place in stakes. A proven Grade 1 sire, Broken Vows by Unbridled, out of a daughter of Nijinsky II. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million. He won the Law of Futurity and ran a mile in 1:34 as a two-year-old. And he's sired by Giant's Causeway, the nation's number one ranked sire of the past 2 years. First foals by Cowboy Cal are arriving this year. Sky Classic has sired 6 champions, 59 stakes winners, and over 100 stakes horses. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic is by the great Nijinsky II. Bob and John, Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic stand at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true, dear.
All right. I'm talking to Ron Wallace and my good friend Dr. Doug Byers. Doc, you want to do your little medical thing now? Or?
If we could, I'd plan on it. Now, last week we said we were going to do a little quiz on neurology. So
You don't think I read that book, do you? Yeah, they got words in there. I have to read it with a dictionary in one hand. And
Well, here comes Michael. I was going to try and quiz Michael and see what he had retained, because we've talked about some things before.
We can
pick on Ron, too.
If it doesn't involve money, you forget about it with Michael, because he's always out looking for something to support these horses with.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're into a lot of neurology now because of the foals being born, and they have a lot of neonatal problems just like children do. So they have a lot of seizures, and they have a lot of other complications that connect to the nervous system because it's immature.
Yeah.
And you got to nurse them through and do this and that. So, but if we went to the diseases that we've touched on in the past and kind of reviewed them, that's where I was going to start asking you guys a few questions. And the most common one that we probably ought to discuss, and Michael's here now, so he knows all the answers. But
how have you been his friend for so long under these circumstances?
we can just go to EPM, equine protozoal myelitis, right?
Yes, sir.
I know EPM, but the other words you said you didn't forget about other than equine.
Well, the protozoa part of it, I won't expect you to know the big names there, but back about 35, 40 years ago that they noticed mostly standardbred horses that got ataxic. And so on the postmortems, Jim Rooney used to be at the diagnostic laboratory at the university on the main campus before they built this one. He noticed these bugs in there and identified them as what he called toxoplasma. Now, toxoplasma is a protozoal organism that you might have heard where women shouldn't handle cats if they're pregnant, because cats can pass the protozoa, and if women get contaminated, then this protozoa is what we call a neurotrophe. It goes to the myelin, or it feeds on the tissues and the nutrients around nerve tissue. So if they got into the brain or somewhere, or spinal cord, then the women could become, or the baby could become paralyzed or have brain disorders. So that was toxoplasmosis. Wow. Then there's a similar situation in cattle, where you get called measly beef, where these protozoa go to muscle instead of nervous tissue. Well, they looked more and more, and they finally decided it wasn't toxoplasma. It was a neurotrophic protozoa they were seeing on the microscope. So they changed its name to Sarcocystis. So it is Sarcocystis neurona. And so now they knew what was causing this neurological deficit. So it behaved differently than other neurological disorders. So if a horse was a wobbler, his spinal cord was affected in one spot, generally one spot, or at least in the spinal cord right there. The protozoa would go anywhere that was nervous tissue. So it got into could get into the brain, get in the spinal cord, or it could get into the nerve roots that come out of the cord. And so that's why these horses began to develop muscle atrophy. Mm-hmm. So it would be kind of like polio. Had a root predisposition, but that's a virus. But in any event, that's what they would do. And then trainers got to looking at their horses, and I've always said the best diagnostician is your exercise rider or your jockey, because they could feel something.
Ones that are sober.
Yeah.
Now, let's be nice.
But in any event, they would say this horse was off. Well, now protozoal EPM became a leading diagnosis for lameness. Mm-hmm. So then trainers would put everything on medication to kill the protozoa, and even if they didn't have it, they would say that we're going to try and prevent it. So it was kind of a shoot from the hip thing. First of all, the veterinarians would look at the horse and say there's no good diagnostic test. Used to be that we'd pull a blood test, but then they found out that 70% of the horses had already been exposed, so they had a titer. So, and then some horses that didn't have a titer could still wind up going downhill, and they find protozoa postmortem on them. And the postmortem is the only definitive test there is.
That's not the test you really want either.
No. But, you know, it is, if you're going to have a neurological disorder, let's come up with something we can treat. So that makes it a favorable thing to get diagnosed and treated with. Yeah. And a lot of times people will just say, well, this horse is off, I'm going to put him on an antiprotozoal treatment. If he gets better, then that's going to make the diagnosis for me. So, again, it's something been around for a long, long time. I could pick on Michael and say, how many horses have you seen that we've discussed that?
Three for sure.
With EPM?
EPM.
Ruhlman had it. Ruhlman.
Is that right?
And the Wicked North had it.
And that mare?
Yep.
Now, did they compete with it?
What's that?
Did they compete with it?
No. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that they were treated for it because it came in with their papers.
Well, and we'll take our little quiz a little further. The age group where they pick it up or show it, the incubation period, which is, again, the time that they get infected to the time they show a clinical sign,
We
don't really know. Could be that they get infected when they're young foals or weanlings, and we usually don't see many EPM cases.
So, in other words, they could pick it up
right. as a weanling or as a yearling, and then it wouldn't show up until maybe after their racing career or something?
Well, even during their racing career. So they could be a weanling, and so that let's say you buy a yearling or a weanling out of the sale, mm-hmm. and you send him to Europe, and Europe doesn't have EPM, okay? Why is that? Do you guys know?
No possums?
No possums. No okay. skunks. No, so they don't
you
have...
You know, any question about a varmint, Hirsel can answer.
Well, that's because I know you, Michael.
That's right. If you send Michael to Europe, the whole thing will go downhill. So these horses would be bought, and they'd get in their racing career, and they get stressed, and suddenly they start to lose their coordination, and... you could tell this particular disease because the bug is not a one-sided, it's what we call multifocal. So his right hind leg may drag, his left front leg may hike. So he's kind of like a soldier with a high-stepping soldier on the left front, and he's dragging like Michael is on Friday nights. So...
But and Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
And then if you see muscle atrophy on top of that, mm-hmm. it could be a jaw muscle, it could be a head muscle or a hip muscle. Yeah. Then
now, the two horses at Ruhlman and the Wicked North now, those were high-class race horses, so they probably picked it up after they went to stud or something.
We don't know that. We don't know that because it doesn't express itself consistently. So they could have had that bug and it didn't get... They could have been 8, 9 years old, and then the bug finally got them. But they could have carried it.
Yeah, they could have carried it.
Exactly,
long.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I didn't know that.
So you put them on, there's a number of different treatments for it. The most common out there is Marquis, which is Pinazuril, and now we have Diclazuril, it's come out from Pfizer.
Expensive, too.
Yep, they're all expensive. And you got to treat them a long time, relatively a long time. Some of the old products we used to be the sulfa drugs kill protozoa, and you combine that with the anti-malaria. Remember that malaria is a protozoa, so you combine that with a drug called Daraprim, which is pyrimethamine, and you put those two together, and that's how we used to take those pills when we first suspected these things, and we put them on those. Mm-hmm. And now they compound them into paste. So you used to have to keep them on there anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And you still do, but it's one of the options. But there's all kinds of products out there. There's voodoo stuff. There's always voodoo stuff. And, again, if you talk about the difference between Marquis the new Diclazuril from Pfizer, those are FDA approved, which means they have to show the absorption and they have to show clinical trials that demonstrate efficacy, safety and efficacy. Those are the two key words in any FDA drug. So if you go out and get a concoction, they haven't had to do that. So they just say, you know, this is an EPM medication.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them doing that because there's a lot of people that worry about it, and horses that may not show clinical signs, trainers say, I'm going to prevent it. I'm going to treat them periodically. So that's a pretty common thing. But
now you said possums and skunks. What about raccoons?
Raccoons are also carriers. The possum is known to shed the eggs or the oocysts of the protozoa more than anybody else. Now they've even found it sparingly in cats. So your barn cat could be a culprit, but they shed very little. Now, and the birds are the intermediate. Before the possum picks it up, it's the birds that transfer it from one place to another. So you'd say, well, my farm is clean. Well, you can't keep the birds out of there. So
the cats do.
yeah. But then the cats get it.
I have a question. I know people that fill ponds because they don't want those critters around drinking, so
right.
And so. We have lots of ponds, lots of water around here. Do you see more of it in a place like that than you would a dry place like California or?
No. It's everywhere.
Okay.
It's everywhere. Okay. It is a North American, and you know, do you not see possums and skunks in California? You certainly do. So wherever they are is where it's distributed. Now, we have EPM in South America, but we don't have it in Europe or those countries that don't have those intermediate hosts. So it's very specific, and that's characteristic of a lot of diseases that are very, very specific. And they actually, you take like stomach flu, which is a virus. We get the stomach flu, we get rotavirus. But the rotavirus that we get doesn't infect the foal, and the foal's rotavirus that they get doesn't infect the human.
You would think if a cat could do it, a fox could.
Oh, yeah.
A fox right. In Europe, though.
Well, they'll eat whatever carcass there is. Any yeah. varmint that will eat on that, then they'll transfer it. And so then when they defecate the oocysts and the horse is out there grazing, that's where they're picking up. Or really, most of the time, it's not so much in the grazing environment, but it's more they get into the hay and they get into the feed. And then the horse gets a more concentrated thing, because we've all seen varmint mm-hmm. waste in our barns. So that can happen. But that's how they would get exposed. But again, it's a treatable disease. The diagnostics are really beauties in the eyes of the beholder, someone that knows what to look for. And make that call and put them on medication for it. But the medication's expensive, like you said, Ursula. Yeah. So you just don't want to frivolously start adding to everybody's bill.
All right. Well, thank you. That was very interesting.
Well,
there you go.
We got one bug out of the way, and you've got Michael yet to go with.
I got a flash water over here.
All right.
It better be a big one.
Yeah. Well, Mizzen Mass has an outstanding crop of two-year-olds going for him in 2011, perhaps his best to date. He was bred to 149 mares in 2008, and remember, he has sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop. 9 of them have won a place in stakes. He was a sire of 13 stakes horses in 2010. 3 of them were two-year-olds. 8 stakes winners and nearly half of his stakes horses earned black type and graded stakes. One of the nation's most versatile sires, Mizzen Mass, has sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial, and in 4 different countries, France, Italy, Japan, and, of course, the USA. He's also a proven sire of grade 1 stakes winners. Mizzen Mass won grade 1 stakes sprinting on the dirt and group stakes around 2 turns on grass. Pedigree provides an outcross to Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Lion Mares, and he stands at Judmont Farm for 12,500 live foal. Judmont is also the home of the young Grade 1 Stakes Winner First Defense. He's buying Bridal Song out of the Grade 1 Stakes Winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady is a half-sister to Grade 1 Sires, Empire Maker, and Chester House. And First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about Doc's builder.
Lumley. Carl, really nice guy.
Yeah. Have you seen the house?
Yeah, he's got the beer deck was done first. That's why he's such a great builder.
And I bet you there's a lawn chair on it for you.
It's actually not a very comfortable chair, and I'm taking that personally.
Oh, are you?
Michael came down about a year ago and put a beer can in the middle of the grass that said, build a house around this.
And Carl, the master of the house that he is, was able to accomplish that.
Well, have you in it yet, Doc? You getting close, real close?
We're really close, and, you know, close enough that you're getting kind of itchy. Yeah. And Carl has done a great job. He feels pretty bad that we should have been in it last month, but a couple of the vendors didn't come through, and so put delays on everything. But we got the electrical and the water inspection done this last week, and then we have a final inspection, I think, coming up on Tuesday. And so Tuesday night, I'm moving.
Are you ready?
He's done a great job on the house. I mean, the house.
He really has. It's a gorgeous house. It really is. And everything is finished so nicely. You know, I mean, it really looks good. Kitchen, stunning.
That's because Susan, Dr. Byer's wife, has good taste, and Carl's building the house.
Well, she's got good taste in houses.
I knew that was coming. No, Carl is honest, hardworking. He's an Irishman, but he doesn't imbibe much.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm not sure he's Irish because he doesn't have any accent at all.
No, and maybe he's a quick learner. I don't know. But anyway, he's been here a long time, and he started out kind of like Ron Wallace. You know, got the horses are what brought him here.
Yeah.
And he got involved with the horses and then started building because that's his father and his family. You know, that was his roots, and then he got to do them. But he started out with, you know, trying to do barn projects and farm projects, and then got all the way to the houses.
He'll build additions or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Build your shed, build your chicken house, whatever.
And that's coming too. The chicken house is going to be part of the.
Going to remodel the chicken house?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, he has to sleep out there.
He needs to remodel the chickens because that's.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to get in touch with Carl, if you're thinking about building, he's a guy that everybody recommends, and Dr. Doug Byers here does. I know he did some work over at Brookdale for the Seitz family and Denali Stud. And they really run in sheds, barns, houses. He can add, like, he can build you a beer deck, you know. There you go. So here's his number. It's 859, of course. It's 333-7914, 333-7914. And if you don't remember that, just call me down in Bourbon County, and I'll get it for you. Also, he's got an email address. It's lumleyenterprises@yahoo.com. And you spell his name Lumley. So he's got great references, and he'll give you a very competitive bid, and he sticks to it. He doesn't need no add-ons at the end. And anyway.
Now that's one thing he has followed through on everything he said that he would do. And you said they could call you, too. They can call me if they want to get a hold of him.
Well, that's two good references right there, isn't it? All right. Well, Taste of Paradise is signed tough, hard-hitting runners, the kind that you put in the winner's circle, put you in the winner's circle, as a matter of fact. In fact, he has signed winners at 25 different tracks, so they win wherever they're asked to run. Queenland has won five times, placed in the $50,000 Yellow Rose Stakes at Sam Houston, and has won her last two starts in Allowance Company. Joy's Paradise has posted seven wins and placed in stakes at Lone Star and Remington. Big Sky won his second start. That was at Arlington Park. Tahiti Shack won first time out in Philadelphia. Wing Glider won on March 31st at Aqueduct. That was two days after Leafy Greens won at Golden Gate. And the day before, Tuxedo Affair posted her second win at Turfway Park. And Star of Paradise had won three of his last four starts, two at Oak Lawn and an April 5 allowance race at Hawthorne. So if you folks who train around here, like here at the training center, Taste of Paradise, decide winners at Turfway, Mountaineer, Indiana Downs, that's the tracks you all like to run at. Taste of Paradise won the Grade 1 Vosburg, ran second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, earned over $1 million, and he's by Mr. Prospector's classic-winning son, Conquistador Cielo. Stands over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Breeding incentives are available. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I've got Michael Bowen here with me now.
Hey, Russell.
I see you're getting another award.
Why are you going to have to?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Jack has got it in the announcement.
They're really running out of people.
Uh-oh. I was trying to get Bucky Sally out here to play a, you know, sort of an introductory. Well, that too.
Yeah, a couple
Bucky's
of years.
Great. No, the great. It's the New England Enterprise Award. It's named after Sam McCracken, who's my longtime friend. So, you know,
you
get something that's named after.
Who was he?
Sam was the longtime turf writer at the Globe. I can't tell you how many times Joe Hirsch, Sam McCracken, and whatever other person they could and drag out to the wishing well at Saratoga, close that place, singing songs at night.
Oh, funny.
2 o'clock in the morning, Sam and Joe, and they'd be up at 6 o'clock going around the back. So I said, didn't you even go home? Oh, no, why bother?
Now, what did he do?
He was a turf rider at the Boston Globe.
For the Globe, mm-hmm. Okay.
He won the old Hilltopper Award down there.
He's getting all these awards. He got the Joe Palmer Award for crying out loud, too.
Dude. Yeah, these horses take any place.
Yeah.
Not only that, I got invited to a party last night at the Keene Place. At Keene,
really?
Yes.
How nice.
With the Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
And Governor Jones came over to me and said, you know, ever since I wrote you that check, things have been going good. I said, you're not the only one that happened to. I said, you know, 2 days after the Jerry and Ann Moss wrote us a check, they won the Derby with Giacomo.
That's it.
So I said, oh, and this is Mr. Oxley. Would you like to explain to him how it works?
Good move.
So, yeah, and Tracy and Carol Farmer. Tracy had some surgery done over the winter in Florida, and he's doing good. And so Tracy and Carol were there. It was a really, really nice get-together.
Good. Good
for you. Barry was here, came up in the clocker stand this morning.
Did he?
Yeah, he visited a while. And then his son Brett and his wife Tyler came by.
Nice.
Yeah. Boy, she's stunning.
Yeah.
Isn't she gorgeous?
She's, yeah, she is.
That's Jimmy Bills.
Oh, really?
Daughter. Yeah.
Wow.
Takes after her mother.
That's great.
Yeah, she's a pretty girl.
It was a wonderful, it was just a really, really wonderful get together. And you know, my pleas for Hay on Saturday are paying off big time.
Are they really great?
Alex Barnett, who's the judge executive over in Harrison County.
Yeah.
He sent over some really nice round bales that were, you know, alfalfa and really,
good.
Really nice. And then I got a call from Indian Creek. Indian Creek sent over some bales.
Oh, yes,
so.
Shaq.
Very,
nice
very
guy.
Nice. Yeah. So I really appreciate it. And that's not going to stop me from begging. So if you think that's going to shut me up. So if anybody else got any extra hay out there, we still need a few more bales. It would be great to have on hand. So.
Yeah, and Shaq, it includes hounding.
That's the trouble. You know, if people are nice to you, and they're the ones you're always after.
Right, right. That'll teach them.
Eventually you chase them away, too. Yeah. But I think he's got EPM. he's been hanging around with varmints. But that's been really, really great. And then next Saturday, a week from today, is going to be really nice because that's when Jim Bouton's going to be at Keeneland in the morning.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you brought me the book today, too, didn't you?
No.
But
I've only got about 180 of them, too.
Oops.
Hell, I wanted to read it.
Well, I'm going
to
get it autographed.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said.
I'm going to get it autographed. You got to get it autographed. But anyway, it's going to be exciting because Ball 4 is going to be there. The horse.
That's the name of the book that Jim Bowden wrote.
That's right.
And the horse. Mm-hmm.
And the horse. And
Jim's
GD,
going to do a book signing.
Yeah, he'll do a book signing, and G.D. Hieronymus has done some really nice stuff. We're putting together a couple of the nice races that Ball 4 won.
Oh,
and
good.
Also, he's trying to find some stuff on Jim pitching so they can mix it together.
Oh, that's fun. Is he going to be, like, right outside the gift shop, like where they usually
I don't know.
Signings?
I guess so.
Because that's right by the paddock.
Up. Yeah. We'll do the paddock demonstration inside the paddock with Ball 4, the horse, and with Jim.
Yeah.
And with GD, and then we'll go over and have some books.
Now, what time does this occur?
It starts at 8:45.
Okay.
And we'll get to talk a little bit about old friends and some of the other great retirees that we have, and talk about the program and tell everybody how things are going. And then Jim will be signing some books, and then... Nick Nicholson was kind enough to give us some seats for the races. And
great.
You know, that's it's going to be really, really nice.
That's great, yeah. We'll give you a call while you're out there then.
Great.
Sometime during the show.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you can let us know what's going on in the real world.
And we'll give Jim Bouton the phone. He can tell you about what he said. You know, he covered sports. He covered the Belmont a bunch of years because when he left pitching, left Major League Baseball for about a decade. He was a top sportscaster in New York.
Really?
Yes. And then he got bored with it. So, you know what he
you
did?
You working something, Kathy?
I'll get it. No.
So he, after that, he got bored a little bit. He decided he was going to have a comeback as a pitcher. And
was with the Yankees, wasn't he?
He was with the Yankees, and then...
So when do you speak to him?
Huh?
Are you Boston Red Sox?
He lives in Massachusetts now. He's seen the... You know, it's like me moving to Kentucky. You see, you know. We've seen the error of our ways.
Okay.
But he actually came back in 1977, signed a minor league contract with the Braves. Ted Turner signed him. And he went around on a bus and went through all the minor leagues again and came back up to the Atlanta Braves. And in 1978, some 15 years after he retired from baseball.
Yeah.
From the major leagues, he made his comeback with the Atlanta Braves and actually pitched in four games.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they make a movie out of that? Sounds like a
Ball
movie.
Ball 4? Oh, they made a short-lived TV show in which he played himself. There was
is
a
four-episode right?
TV show called Ball 4, and Jim Bowden played himself.
Oh.
And he also is in, there's a movie, The Long Goodbye, that Robert Altman did with Elliot Gould and
yeah.
Raymond Chandler's Philip Marlowe. And he plays the villain. Jim Bowden plays the villain in that movie.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah, he's a whack job, just like, you know, that's why he's intrigued with this idea. You know, he's game for anything.
That's fine. How old is he now?
72.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the new 62, so that's great.
Yeah, I think it is when it comes to him. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's still playing baseball. He plays on an amateur team up in New England.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. That's super.
Yeah.
Good for
I'm
going to
see if I can hit his knuckleball. You know, there's a commentator for ESPN that used to be a major league catcher. I mean, not ESPN, for TVG. Paul LaPlante, maybe? Anyway, I'm sorry I can't remember that, and I'll try and get it straight for next week. But he's a, and they're going to try and get him to get the catcher's equipment on and see if you can catch Bowden in the paddock.
Fun. That's a great. What's that? Turned into a three-ring circus. Are they going to race that day when you all are finished? Are they going to have racing?
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope people will come out, and people are starting to come by for the tours, and we're really happy to have them. So call Barbara and Beth today. They're at area code 502-863-1775. Come out before the races. Come out after the races. We'd love to have you. And it'll be a lot of fun. You get to see Marquetry and Gulch and all these great old horses. And a moment of silence for AP Indy retiring.
How about that?
Really,
I had a trainer up here. She was looking at one of the brochures as it got over, and he says, "They've got Gulch over there."
Yeah.
They got Ogajin over there.
Yeah. It is amazing. I mean, people are really amazing. I ran into Kent DeSormo the other day. He's so nice. You know, there's nobody at the track the other day, and I'm just walking around trying to see who I can bother, and I went into Bob Hess's barn, and he was grooming a pony.
Is that
DeSormo
right?
was just in there by himself grooming a pony.
Yeah.
I better pay a bill here.
All right, I'll let you pay a bill. I'm going to go try and pay some of my own.
All right.
Or at least get out of here before they find out, the bill collectors find out I am
here. You got a raincoat, old buddy? May need it.
I'll bring one.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks,
Dad. He's going
to
the races.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. We'll give you a call after.
All right.
All right, Michael
Thanks,
Bowen. Ursula.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Jackie.
Well, Darren ran a mile in 1:33.3 to win the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Posting a 114 bar speed rating. In the Grade 2 Jerome Stakes at Belmont Park, he blazed the first six furlongs in 108-1 and coasted out the mile in 134-1 for a 110 bar. If you're looking for speed, look to DeHare. Veteran turf rider Steve Haskin described him as freaky fast. If you're looking for a young sire prospect from a proven sire line, look to DeHare. He is one of 10 Grade 1 Stakes winners by Awesome Again, the sire of more Breeders' Cup winners than any other active sire. If you're looking for a live female family, look to DeHare. It should tell you something that his Grade 1 winning foal sister, Sponge Sugar, sold at auction for $4,500,000, and that his stakes winning dam sold for $2,700,000. Grade 1 stakes winner DeHare, freaky fast, by a top sire from a female family alive with black type, $7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and check the website at Shadwell Farm. com.
If you're going to the Rolex 3-day event in April, be sure to take a short drive out to Paris and visit Quillen Leather and Tack. They're at Main Street and 20th Street. It's easy to find. Just go straight through. Don't take the bypass. Just go on into town. Anyway, they're having also free shipping on Mare turnout halters if you buy four or more. And they've got a special on Kentucky Hickory Twitches. They got the long ones, and then they got the one-man short ones. If you don't know, those are short. You put the rope around the lip and twist it, and then you can bring it back and hook it on the halter. That's if you're by yourself. One-man twitch is $20.95. You can have an optional solid brass nameplate. And the 48-inch, which is the standard hickory, is $34.95. And they got a great gift shop. And if you friend Ralph Quillen on Facebook. He puts up a lot of music. Anyway, it's Quillin, Quillin.com, or give him a call, 987-0730.
Well, hold me back. Served notice with his first two starts as a two-year-old that he was a runner, winning at Arlington Park, then at Keeneland. The next year, he demonstrated that it was no idle promise by winning the grade two $500,000 Lane's End Stakes and running game seconds in two of the nation's most prestigious stakes for three-year-olds, the historic grade one Travers at Saratoga and Keeneland's grade one Bluegrass Stakes. Then he came back at four to win the grade three Dominion Day Stakes at Woodbine. Equally adept on dirt and artificial, Homie Back earned $872,610. Homie Back is by the great Stormcat's most successful son, Giant's Causeway, out of her daughter of Unbridled Song, the most successful son of Unbridled. The second dam is champion three-year-old filly and champion sprinter O'Vowell, and this is the family which has given us such major stakes winners as A Fleet Affair, Ambiopores, Algasur, and the great Tom Fool. Now pay attention. Breeder mare to Homie Back, pay $6,000 stud fee when the foal stands and nurses, and you'll receive a free lifetime breeding right. Inquiries to Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. Check the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie, have at it.
All right, I'm having at it. Today being April 9th, they're in the middle of the Certified Horsemanship Association Instructor Certification Clinic out at the Horse Park, and we're in the middle of the Spring Bay Horse Trials. Coming up will be the 13th and the 16th. That would be the Kentucky Spring Premier Saddlebred Show. Next weekend is the Double Band Horsemanship Clinic, and April 16th is the Hippity Hoppity Hunt at the Horse Park Campground. I'm guessing that is for Easter. Hello.
Come on in, Melvin.
Okay, Biofuel, four-year-old filly, has been awarded the Sovereign Award Canadian Horse of the Year. She's by Storm and Fever, bred and owned by Brereton C. Jones. Ursel, here's your list of the KTA.
All right. David Schweitzer supplies this list every week.
How you doing?
And these are Kentucky breds that won stakes last weekend. Compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and Toba. The Grade One Florida Derby winner, Dialed In, bred by Will Farish and Madeline Pickens and Scarra Glen Farm. The Grade Two Swale Stakes at Gulfstream. Traveling Man won that, bred by E. Paul Robsham. The Grade 3 Rampart Stakes at Gulfstream. Awesome Maria won that, bred by the same gentleman, E. Paul Robsham. The Grade 3 Las Flores Stakes at Santa Anita went to Gilded Gem, bred by Gaines Gentry Thoroughbreds and Serengeti Stables. The Skipaway Stakes, Grade 3 at Gulfstream. S.S. Stone the winner. Mary Lou Whitney bred the winner. Let's see, the Santa Lucia Stakes at Santa Anita went to Church Camp, bred by Brereton C. Jones. The Carousel Stakes at Oak Lawn, Cosmo Girl, bred by L.N.B. Kilkelly. The Longhorn Stakes at, is that Parx or Parks or P-A-R-X?
Parks,
I never figured out how to pronounce that. It's old Philadelphia Park, hell. Everybody knows where that is. Anyway, Harissa won it, bred by Jeannie Bruce. The Sir Shackleton Handicap at Gulfstream went to Captain Candyman Can, bred by Leonard Hill Farm, Joseph Rauch, and David Zell. And the Fairway Fun Stakes down at Turfway, Blushing Dixie, bred by Callowood Farms.
Okay, Windstar Farm has a new thoroughbred membership called Windstar Stablemates. You can, for free, you can be a free member. You get games and contests. You get access to the farm cameras. Isn't that fun? You can get that on your computer and on your, you can see what the farm cameras see. And you get a members only website. Ain't that cool? I'm telling you, this is pretty snazzy. If you're interested, go to www.windstar.
I wouldn't know how to work it, but it might be snazzy.
Well, you have to have a certain amount of,
intelligence.
Right,
is that what you're trying
to
say?
You got it. I wasn't going to say it, but anyway. www.windstarstablemates.com. And, this is so great. We went out to eat the other night. Lord help us. We went to the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Now, it's down in Chevy Chase. It's on Romney Road. It's right across from the parking lot of the old Randalls, which is now the old Kroger's. 355 Romney Road, and Spencer Vandendul is the chef. And, of course, we all know him from the Black Tulip, formerly in Midway. Food was fabulous. It's just a great place to eat. We sat outside under an umbrella and counted cars while we were sitting there. We had a great time. I got to tell you, the menu is out of this world. I had fish and chips because all you have to do is wave fish and chips in front of me, and I'm just, I want that. But Ursel had pork tenderloin seared with baby arugula, bacon-wrapped,
I know what it was, but I ate it. Haricot
verts, whatever that is, and a Chablis mustard sauce. It was delicious, and we had a great time. They have a fantastic wine, 100 different kinds of wine. I guess Bill Vandendul picks those out. I don't know. It's just, it's really good food. And we saw people we knew. That was another fun thing. It's, and we took a dessert home to Betsy that was some kind of cream with some kind of fruit with some kind of little crackers or cookies. I don't know. You got to go. It's the Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's 355 Romney Road. Give them a call, 367-6687.
Well, in the mischief, run a mile and a 16th, 140 and 4 to win a grade 1, $760,000 cash call for Trudy as a 2-year-old. That bettered the time of last year's champion 3-year-old. Looking at Lucky. In fact, it was the fastest cash call for Trudy in 15 years. A grade 1 win came after he had sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden at Oak Tree. Next year, in 3 starts, he ran 2nd in the grade 2 San Vicente and in the grade 1 Malibu. Then, after an extended layoff, he blazed 7 furlongs and won 20-1 to win the $113,000 Damascus Stakes. In the Mischief is by Harlan's Holiday, the nation's leading sire 2011 stakes winners, with 7. Harlan's Holiday has sired 7 grade 1 stakes runners. In a Mischief was the first and the most recent in his Majestic Perfection, a colt considered by many to be the fastest sprinter in 2010 after an easy win over Big Drama in the grade 1 Vanderbilt at Saratoga. Now, the first foal's made a Mischief for yearlings. He's been popular with breeders, so he'll be well represented when his first foal reaches the races. And he, to continue his chances for success, Spencer Farm is offering a special breed risk-free program. So call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey, Sean Fell or Ned Toffee over at Spendthrift Farm. Talk it over with them. The phone number is 294-0030, and the website is SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at PristNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at BristNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
And I want to also talk about friends over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's they specialize in elective surgery, that's outpatient medicine. And, for instance, if you have something that maybe needs a tieback or throat surgery, something like that, you call them up, make an appointment, go over, they take care of you, and they fix you up right there and send you home. And that's...
Yeah, none of that overnight charge stuff, which is can really run.
Well, they give you the cost right up front of what it's going to cost you. No add-ons. There's going to be no surprises when you get the bill. They got some great people over there, Dr. Wes Sutter. He's a board-certified surgeon, Dr. Bill Bernard. Every night he knows Bill. He's been, well, he was 17 years with Rudin Riddle, and he heads up the outpatient medicine division. Dr. Laura Bidwell, also, she's a certified anesthesiologist, formerly with Rudin Riddle. Great people. So just call them up for an appointment. check their website. It's LexingtonEquine.com, LexingtonEquine.com. The number over there is 967-0770.
And in conjunction, Wycliffe Veterinary Pharmacy. It's right on that same address. And if you remember, Doc was talking this morning about treating EPM, and there are only two EPM drugs which are certified. And this pharmacy here is a compounding pharmacy. You can go over there, and they will put together whatever your vet prescribes by their pharmacists and chemists. So it gives you a specific strength that the vet wants and not this cookie cutter stuff. So also for fun, they have color coding on their labels. That's for safety, and they can do about anything you want, make it any flavor you want to if you want to get that horse to take that stuff. So let me give you their 888 number. It's 934-5678. What an easy number, 9345678 or 389-7470. That's Wycliffe Veterinary Pharmacy.
All right, I'm going to have Melvin Kendrick on here in just a very few minutes. Melvin, if you can sit there for another 5 minutes, I'll be right there with you. I forgot to announce this at the beginning of the show, but we've had 9 winners out of the Thoroughbred Center already this month. And here they are. Of course, last month we had 53 winners out of here. Marco Castaneda, Jimmy Cargan, Steve Casey, Bobby Sturgeon, another one by trained by Marco Castaneda, Luis Seglin, I guess you pronounce it. He's from Argentina, so I don't know how to pronounce it. Jimmy Cargan, another one Marco Castaneda, and another one for Bobby Sturgeon. So that's 9 winners already. What's today, the 9th? Winner of the day from the Thoroughbred Center. That's good enough. If you just knew which ones to bet on, you'd have it made.
I know. We'll bet on them all. Why not?
I'd rather book.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Kim Jed Licky trains out here. She is a member of the Scott County Women's Club. They're having a pre-derby party. For the proceeds will benefit Quest Farm, Habitat for Humanity, Georgetown Readiness Preschool, and the Amen House of Georgetown. This is going to be on May 5th, the Thursday before the Derby, at their farm, 3248 Ironworks, right out in Georgetown, near Old Friends. It's at 6 o'clock. It's at $75 a person, open bar, food, blah, blah. It's really going to be a nice thing. Give Kim a call, 502-867-8056. And just a quick mention, the Cardinal Hill Telethon is a week from tomorrow, April the 16th. Of course, we love Cardinal Hill. They've done so much for Betsy. And Mike, the rider, Mike Strait.
Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful. Also, Cardinal Hill is working with the High Hope Steeplechase this year, and I have to say something real quick about High Hope Steeplechase. I got a phone call. This riding that you can go out to the horse park and ride does not include riding on the steeplechase course. I don't think I said that, but somebody busted a gasket. I think it was Bill Wofford. He was afraid I said that you were allowed to ride on the steeplechase course, which you are not. This Horse Park Foundation Cross Country Schooling Day is Sunday, May 15th, and the week after is the High Hope. You cross through it, though, because you get to ride in the infield down in the water and stuff. I think you cross the steeplechase course up at the steeplechase barn and then down about a 16th from the finish line, but you're not allowed to ride on the steeplechase course. Bill Wofford said so.
All right. Well, Street Hero won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes as a 2-year-old. In fact, he won a place in 3 consecutive Grade 1 Stakes at 2, the Norfolk, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Del Mar Futurity. Never out of the money. Street Hero is one of 11 Grade 1 Stakes winners by the remarkable Street Cry, a list that includes the course, the Great Zenyatta, and the classic winner, Street Sense. He stands for 40,000 live foal. Street Hero is a half-brother to Premier Pegasus, winner this year of the Grade 2 San Felipe. In the March 26th edition of the Blood Horse, Steve Hanskin had ranked Premier Princess second on his Derby dozen, behind only Uncle Mo. So, in addition to being sired by one of the nation's
Top Sire, street cry stands for 150,000 life old. He's a half-brother to one of the nation's top-rated three-year-olds. Street Hero stands at Vinery. Your inspection's invited. And while there, check out Vinery's state-of-the-art facilities for boarding, breeding, rehab, training, anything that has to do with the horse, and that includes sales. Inquiries to John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson, see the website at vinery.com. And let me add this on. Vinery, of course, is sponsoring the Grade 1 Madison Stakes. Going to run out of Keeneland this coming Thursday. That's the 14th. That's for Phillies and Mares 4 and up, going 7 furlongs. And it's the 8th year that Vinery has sponsored the Madison Stakes. So thanks to Vinery for doing that.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, a big race on the West Coast. Today is the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. Long a major prep for the upcoming classics. Past winners include Indian Charlie, AP Indy, Sunday Silence, Superior Sires, Brother Derek, won the Santa Anita Derby. In fact, he won Grade 1 stakes at both 2 and 3. He accumulated earnings of over $500,000 as a 2-year-old, taking both the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity and the Grade 2 Norfolk. At 3, besides the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, he won the Grade 2 Santa Catalina stakes and the Grade 2 San Rafael. At retirement, he'd earned $1,611,138. It's also noteworthy that he was the morning line favorite for the Kentucky Derby in a crop of three-year-olds that including the likes of Barbaro and Bluegrass Cat and Bernardini, Discreet Cat, First Samurai, Lori Ron, and other outstanding colts. First foals for Brother Derek are yearlings this year, and they're grand individuals just like their sire. So watch for them at the major sales. Stands for 7,500 live foal. Breeding incentives are available. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Barrett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I'm heading down the highway, have a gear for any old time.
All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of this mess. I've got Melvin Kendrick here with me, who trains out here. Lord God, he's been training out here for I don't know how many. How long have you been training here at the Thoroughbred Center, Mel?
Quite a long time, I'm not sure, but it's been several years.
It's been that several years.
Yeah.
I've been out here for about 25 years, and you beat me here.
Yeah.
Well, no, you seriously, how long have you been training horses?
I'd say about the early 80s.
Early
80s? I've been on the racetrack, I guess, 50 years. So,
don't get too far away from that mic now, because you got a soft voice. You're not like Tommy over here.
Okay.
Tommy's your buddy. Tommy Mills, your buddy?
He takes care of me, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You took a horse down to Mountaineer Park for you. Get a rhythm, didn't he? You were in the hospital?
Yes. He's taken several times, yeah.
And he win?
Went 3 down there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I know you told me, he says, well, when he runs him again, I'm going to go back in the hospital.
Yeah, I got to go back in.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. I had Tommy on the show a few weeks ago, and it was fun talking to him. Where are you? You're from Bourbon County, or are you?
No, I was born here in Lexington.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, and I've lived in Harrisburg for several years still. My eyes got bad, and then I had to move up here.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm from Lexington. Yeah.
Your eyes got bad in Harrisburg, so you had to move up here.
Well,
so
I got that macular degeneration.
You didn't like what you was looking at in Harrisburg or something?
No. I just got some macular degeneration. They stopped me from driving, so I had to get you know, close. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, was your family in the horse business thing? What got you interested in
it? No, I'd just been in it since I was a kid. I had a brother in it for a while, and but my parents and nothing was never in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Where'd you go to school here?
Lafayette.
I did, too. What year did you graduate?
Well, I didn't graduate.
They kicked me out, too, but what year was that?
I went to the 10th grade, and then I left.
And went on a racetrack?
Yeah, I was in Detroit, and they made me get off the racetrack then because I was just 15, so I'm 65 now, so I've got in several years on it.
Tell me a little bit about that. What were you doing up in Detroit?
Well, I was out of school, and there wasn't no work around here. I mean, my brother was up there with a man named Dave Price. Mm-hmm. He had a trailer park there on Sales Road and was in the horse business.
Oh, I remember him. And he had a pretty good horse, too, didn't he?
He had a couple of pretty fair horses.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went up there to get a job, and I was working for Johnny Johnson.
Okay.
And they found out I was just 15. They come up there and made me get off the track.
Yeah. What were you doing, Walking Hots for him?
Yeah, I was Walking Hots. His wife was a pony girl. And the last time I was in Hot Springs, he was a state steward down there. Mm-hmm. Johnny was. But
did he know you were 15 when he hired you?
No, I told him I was 16, you know.
You started lying young, didn't you?
Yeah. But they was real nice people. I mean, they was really good to me.
Yeah, well, what'd you do after they kicked you out of New York?
I came back here and I worked at Calumet a few years, and then I worked for Harold Kitchen a few years, and then I've basically been in the horse business ever since.
Is that when Mr. Kitchen was managing? He was with King Ranch, wasn't he?
No, he was from down at Versailles, and he had a farm
right.
of his own.
Yeah, yeah, on the left going out.
The front, well, it was out in Cracking Pike on the left.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in the horse business several years here, and then he moved to Ocala.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, now. That,
I don't think he was any kin to those kitchens over at King Ranch.
His name was Harold, too. He had a Harold. Yeah. There was a Harold kitchen over there.
So I don't believe he was in King
Ranch. I remember that, yeah. 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 What were you doing for them?
I was rubbing horses for Mr. Kitchen.
Was he training then?
No. I didn't start training. I was with Bob Gross and John Ward. And then...
Senior or junior?
Senior.
Johnny Ward, senior?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I worked for him quite a while. And then when Bob Gross was there, when Betty Kingsley left, I had a few horses that owned my own. I just went out on my own then.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, of course, John Ward, he was back behind Keeneland there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that you were right. You didn't have to go too far there, did you? I mean, you were right.
No.
On, right. He mostly just broke yearlings, didn't he? Didn't run a whole lot of horses, did he?
No, he didn't. He had several good clients like King Ranch and Charles W. Egerhart, and you know, he had a lot of good clients. Broke a lot of horses.
Mm-hmm.
Good horses.
His brother was a trainer.
Yes, he trained Fargo. Yeah, Cheryl did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, you knew John Jr. then.
Oh, I know John Jr., yeah. I worked for him when he got out of college and come back and started taking over as assistant for his daddy.
Yeah. And you went to work for him, too?
Yeah, I was there when he came back in from Florida. I guess he'd been down there with Cheryl for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Cheryl was, he traveled.
Yeah.
And John just stayed at
John home. Stayed in Lexington, yeah.
Yeah. He had a nice setup over there, though. Yeah, he broke a lot of top horses there.
A lot of top horses.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he break four goal?
Oh, yes.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I know they had him turned out over there for a while, didn't they?
I'm pretty sure we broke him, yeah.
Yeah, after he was through racing, they turned him out. Didn't they turn him out over there?
They could have. I know he had him in there two or three times when we had something to need to work on or give him some time off, you know, or something.
Did you get to see him?
Oh, yeah.
Big horse, wasn't
he? Yeah, big horse, yeah.
What do you say, 16-3, something like
Every bit of that, I think.
Is that right? You should have got a hold of him.
Yeah, been nice.
Yeah.
So you working for Johnny Warden then, and you finally went out on your own then?
Yeah, me and Bob was together, and Bob, that's when John cut back a little, and Bob had a guy by the name of Corbin Robinson, had Sharon's stable out in on the West Coast. We had horses for him a few years, and then...
You went on the West Coast with him?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sharon's stable, we just get them ready, and Neil Drysdale was training.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then when Bob got to cut back, slowing down, that's when I went out on my own.
Okay. Now, he used to race mostly in Chicago and Arkansas, didn't he, Bob? Didn't he?
When he trained, I think he raced mostly around Maryland.
Bowie, oh, did he? Okay, I'm wrong like about that. Yeah. 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 Did you go up to Maryland with him?
No, no. That was before my time when he was up there. He had a real good speed horse one time, Amistar or something like that. Had a lot of speed.
Amistar.
Yeah. I believe that was his name.
I can remember the horse name there, but I can't remember.
But when he got through traveling on the road, well, he come back and worked for John. Mm-hmm. And then when John Jr. come in, Bob kind of retired, you know, and he had a few clients that I worked for him. Mm-hmm. We stabled at Kingland for several years.
Yeah. Okay, let me get right back to you. We'll take one of those commercial breaks again. Well, Pulpit has sired 10 Grade 1 stakes winners in the USA. That's why his sales yearlings have sold for an average of over $216,000. Listed among the 10 are Tappet, Sky Mason, and Stroll. Tappet's advertised stud fee for 2011 is $80,000. Sky Mason's $30,000. Stroll was a sire of but 61 foals in this country before his departure to Europe. But from those 61 foals have come a champion two-year-old filly, 6 stakes winners, and 2 greatest stakes winners. Well, of course, he's back. His stud fee is $7,500 due when the foal stands and nurses. He is the sire of Van Leer Rose, champion two-year-old filly of her year in Canada and winner of Grade 3 stakes there, and of Afternoon Stroll, winner of the Grade 3 Appalachian stakes out at Keeneland. 6 stakes winners plus 2 others which have placed in stakes. That's better than 13% stakes horses from foals. Stroll won Grade 1 stakes at Churchill, graded stakes at Saratoga, Belmont, and Calder, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Scott Batter won the Grade 1 stakes at both 2 and 3. After breaking his maiden by over 5 lengths at Belmont, he went on to win the Grade 1 Champagne and the Grade 2 Sanford stakes. He was assigned 123 pounds on the experimental. At 3, he won the Grade 1 Florida Derby and won 49 flat, second fastest time since Unbridled Song's time back in 1996. And he also won the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth before suffering a career-ending injury in the Kentucky Derby. He was retired with earnings of over $1,334,000. Scat Daddy's one of 22 graded stakes winners from the first 4 crops by world champion two-year-old Johannesburg. He's out of the Grade 1 stakes producing daughter of Mr. Prospector. His second dam is the Grade 1 stakes winner, Likeable Style. She's by Nijinsky II. First foals with Scat Daddy are two-year-olds this year, and they figure to come out running just like their sire. One breeze in 8th in 9-4. That must have been downhill. One breeze in 8th in 9-4, then sold for a session topping $400,000. I bet he did. At the recent OBS March selected two-year-old in training sale, and another went for $170,000. So horsemen like what they see. Scat Daddy stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, home of the nation's leading sire for the past 2 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. I'm talking to Melvin Kendrick, who's been training for many, many years. You remember your first winner? Look at that. Everybody remembers their first winner.
I don't think so, no.
You don't remember your first? Tommy, you remember yours, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah. No, I don't right offhand.
Well, maybe he's had more winners than we had, Tommy.
Yeah, I seen them yesterday. Two bucks, plumb full of pictures.
Is that right?
It was either at River Downs or Latonia back then.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But you don't? You don't. Did you ever gallop horses?
No.
Never did?
No,
I figured you were a little too tall.
Yeah, no, never galloped.
Yeah. Well, I swear, I can remember my first winner. Just says, usually you ask some ex-jock like that, and they remember the first horse that got on. And where you remember your first starter?
Oh, no. I don't remember what I done last week.
Do you remember your last winner?
Yeah, I got that down.
You got that? Haven't forgot that one yet, huh? Well, you remember? What's the best horse you ever trained?
I would think Joyce Melody.
Okay.
I claimed her at Louisville and won the Fairway Fund. Another little stake with her around Michigan. But anyway, I run her in 60 sales, and I believe she was favored. Wound up third that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had two or three, four horses that made a little money, but no, all bowling in one great estate.
Mm-hmm.
And
who was that now?
That was a horse called Rubin's Art, win the Hawthorne Juvenile for Time Collins here in Lexington.
Okay.
I don't think that race is graded anymore.
You were traveling at that time because of 60 sales at the fairgrounds and the.
No, the 60 sales was the sportsman's. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You still got to travel to get to
Chicago. Oh, yeah. But we just shipped up there and run, and Harvey Veneer beat me.
Is that right?
Yes. And I can't remember that mare's name. I shipped her to Michigan to run her in 100,000 up there at Michigan, and the same mare that beat me in Chicago beat me in Michigan. I was second to her that day.
Followed you up there.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty common.
And then when I ran Rubens Art in the Bluegrass, I think Harvey won that race with a playfellow or some horse. I can't remember, but Harvey's been kind of rough on me. I mean,
Harvey down through the years been rough on a lot of people.
Yeah, he was a good horseman.
Yeah, playfellow. You remember who the original playfellow was?
No.
He was a full brother of the Man of War.
Is that right?
The original one, yeah.
I know Harvey had a lot of winners. He won a lot of races.
Well, he didn't have that one, but
yeah.
That one belonged to August Belmont.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever keep track of how many races you win?
No, I wouldn't have no idea. It ain't no big number, but
you can look it up, you know.
I mean, yeah, I can look it up, yeah.
I'd count mine on one finger.
I know that. But it's been fun. I mean, you know, I enjoy.
Yeah. Where are you living now?
I live here in Lexington on Fort Hare Drive over by Dunbar School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you don't remember the first winner. I'm shocked at that.
I don't have no idea. But it was either at River Downs or Latonia.
Did you go race up at Arlington in those stripes?
I used to stable up there during the summer and race up there at Arlington. Mm-hmm.
Why, was Washington Park open when you went up there?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I ran a horse or two at Barrel Morrell.
Yeah, well, that's closed now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went a Barrel Morrell handicap one time with an old horse I had around here called Diverse Dude that made a couple hundred thousand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for Linda Newton over at Paris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You trained for a bunch of people down in Paris.
Several people, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ted Custer.
Yeah, Ted and Betsy. I trained for Betsy's father, Eddie Reynolds. And
what a neat guy he was.
Yeah, he was the best. Yeah,
Eddie and Alice.
Yeah.
Alice was his wife. And they were, I was very fond of them. Of course, I'm very fond of Ted and Betsy as far as that goes.
They were just the best owners you could have.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's good to have somebody that doesn't expect you to win the Derby with everything they've got or something, you know.
One of them passed away on Saturday, and the other one passed away the following Saturday.
I think Eddie just hung on.
Another week.
Yeah. Another week for, you know, to take care of Alice, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was, they were nice, really, really nice. But they raised a lot of, they raised a lot of nice horses.
Oh, raised a lot of nice horses. Yeah.
They've still got that farm down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy and Ted still using it.
That filly that Todd Fletcher's got, that Hilda's Passion, they raised that one, and I think she set a track record at Gulfstream in her last start.
Yeah, I forget what it was. 7 furlongs and 120 and something,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, she's won 2 or 3 stakes, yeah.
Yeah.
But he breeds stakes winners, and, I mean, he breeds good, solid horses.
Yeah. Ted does.
Yes.
Oh, they raise him right down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing, and he's been in a long time.
Yeah. Friend of mine sold him a mare, a Bimlek mare, back way. Jeez, this had to be back in the 1960s. And I think the mare was like 22 or 23 years old when he sold her to him, to Ted. I think he got 4 or 5 more foals out of it than the damnedest thing. You know, how he did that, I don't know. It was a mare that originally belonged to Dixiana, and they sold to Ted down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see him when I go to church. They usually, we go to the same church down there at in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever train anything for Eddie? You did?
Oh, yeah. I trained for, I don't know how many years I was with Eddie, but as far as I know, the last snowbreaker mare he had, Winnie Kingland, I went a couple of Kingland with her, and it's the only race she ever won in Kingland.
Is that right?
I think that's right now.
Yeah. It's tough.
And he left to go to Churchill. We went a few races to Churchill. He loved to go to Churchill. Yeah.
How many you got in training now?
Oh, I just got 3 years.
Is it? Just enough to keep you out of trouble?
Yeah, just keep me busy and active, yeah.
Tommy's supposed to keep you out of trouble.
Well, that's a bad deal.
I have to tell you, I just got back from the Speedway up here, ran up and get Engineer Resi some donuts, ran into Ted and Betsy Custer.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Got in a car, I'm driving backyard. Teddy's got on a tie that has the Keeneland logo and then the Lexus logo.
Is that right?
For winning that Lexus stake last year.
Yeah.
With Hilda's Passion.
Right.
Yeah. How about that? Now, this is on the way to the races. Yeah. You all going out today?
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure if I'm going or not.
All right. Well, Melvin, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
I appreciate you stopping in.
Well, thanks for having me. It's
been fun talking to you. If you ever think of that, you turn the lights on there? Let there be light.
It's dark.
If you ever think of that, the first horse that you saddle win with, let me know, will you?
I will. I sure do.
Thank you, Melvin.
Okay, thank you, Ted.
Tommy, thanks for bringing him down. I appreciate it. We'll see you guys around. All right. I know you didn't want me to keep you too long. Don't say why you got to go. All righty. Well, Mrs. Mass has an outstanding crop of two-year-olds going for him in 2011, perhaps his best to date. He was bred to 149 mares in 2008, and remember, he sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop, and 9 of those two-year-olds won a place in stakes. He was a sire of 13 stakes horses in 2010, 3 of them two-year-olds, 8 stakes winners, and nearly half of his stakes horses earned black type and graded stakes. One of the nation's most versatile sires, Mizzen Mass has sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial, and in 4 different countries, France, Italy, Japan, and, of course, the USA. He is also a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 stakes sprinting on the dirt, group stakes around 2 turns on grass. His pedigree provides an outcross to Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Lion Mares. Stands at Judmont Farm for 12,500 live foal. Judd Mott is also the home of the young Grade 1 stakes winner, First Defense. He's by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 stakes winner, Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady is a half-sister to Grade 1 stakes winner's Empire Maker in Chester House, and First Defense stands for 7,500 live fold. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fried. See the website at JuddMott.com. Let's see where I am now. Oh, got to talk about my good buddy Tom. Jackie?
Oh, yeah, I got to hang up.
Want to talk to about Tom Biederman, and I know I saw you yesterday on that website.
Oh, that's a wonderful website, and I jotted down, I think, some things that are bargains that he's got for sale, because now's the time to buy before the... You know, interest rates go up and all that kind of stuff. You never know which way to hop, but this sounds like a good idea. This is 1130 old US 60 toward Frankfurt from Georgetown. 30 acres house with a sunroom, really nice. Five stall barn, running sheds, paddock with waters, $395,000 for 30 acres with a house and fixed up.
That's pretty neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
55540 Russell Cave Road, 40 acres. 12-star barn, all kind of asphalt roads. This is really top-drawer stuff, $625,000. Then there's 7.9 acres on Mount Horeb. It's a 5,841-square-foot house, big house, really nice. Place is 6855 Mount Horeb, right in the middle of gorgeous country. 7.9 acres, that's $595,000. And one more, there's a townhouse at Griffin Gate, right on the 17th fairway. And you know how hard those things are to come by. It's 1,857 square feet. It's beautifully furnished. You can buy it furnished for $315,000. So you need to go check these four out. They're BiedermanBrokerage.com. What's that phone number?
277-2030.
Yeah. I mean, these are really nice. These are ones to go ahead and get a hold of.
Yeah, Tom's had some great people working for him, too, of course, and have been for a number of years. And he's a great guy to do business with. He's just a nice guy and somebody that would treat you square. So if you're thinking about selling your property or if you're looking for property, just give Tom Biederman a call at 277-2030. That's his website is BiedermanBrokerage.com. BIEDERMEN is how you spell Tom's name. All righty. We're going to a Sally right now, I believe.
I've been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way in business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Zenyatta and Biofuel, Horse of the Year in the USA and Horse of the Year in Canada, both raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Zenyatta was foaled and raised on Don M. Robinson's Winter Quarter Farm, and Biofuel was bred by Brad and C. Jones, raised on the Jones family's Airdrie Stud. Congratulations. And congratulations also to Susie Shoemaker of Lantern Hill Farm. Susie raised Captain Candyman Kane, winner of the Sir Shackleton Handicap last weekend at Gulfstream Park, a colt she bred in partnership with Joseph Raunch and David Zell. At McCauley's, every product is scientifically formulated based on the most recent nutritional research coupled with practical results obtained by professional horsemen all around the world. And formulas are never altered due to fluctuating ingredient costs. And remember, McCauley Brothers produces products exclusively for the horse. For more info about McCauley Brothers, contact Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. All right, I've got Steve Moody with me, and we've got lightning and thunder out here at the Thoroughbred Center right now, Steve. Keep your head down.
Yeah, I was just on the phone a little bit ago, and off notes it got dark in a hurry.
Yeah.
And didn't look too promising.
Yeah, Jackie just talked to her sister down in Shelbyville, and she said it's right over Louisville now, and it looks mean. So anyway, give me the winner of the Ashland today.
Well, we got a field of 9, Ursel, drawn for the Ashland, and it's a tell you what, it's tough to throw too many of them out here. A couple of them might be up against it, but there's 6 or 7 that if they win, it would not be a big surprise. The two that are going to get the most play are the 5 Dancing in Her Dreams. John Ward's horse, the trainer, and this horse was filly was very impressive last year when she broke her maiden first out at Keeneland. Came from way off the pace that day and just absolutely ran by the entire field and won. Couldn't have won any easier. Went to Churchill after that and won a race there. She's come up short a couple of times this year, but been well bet. But back at Keeneland, where you know that she likes it, certainly she got to give her a big chance. And then the 6-horse Calfman Blue for Kenny McPeak. She's reeled off 3 straight wins, and she's going to be. Certainly a big player in here. Another horse that I like in here is the 3-horse Wyoming. This is affiliated by Vindication. 2 for 2 on Polytrack, and then comes off of a win at Tampa Bay, and in the Suncoast Stakes, smaller stakes down there. But now comes back today, of course, at Keeneland on the Poly Track. So she has a definite liking for that surface. She's shown that she's not limited to one particular running style. She can run up front or she can run from off the pace if the pace is quick. I think the pace will be an honest one here in there today. Maybe a chance to upset the favorites. We saw the favorite in yesterday's race, the Transylvania Pluck, who was coming off a Breeders' Cup win, got beat in the Transylvania. It's the favorite, so maybe we can beat the favorite again today. I'm going to take the 3-horse Wild Mia and hope she can keep her record perfect on the synthetic surface. We're going to go with Johnny Ward's horse, Dancing in Her Dreams, in the 2 spot, and then Calfman Blue in the show spot. So we'll make it 3, 5, and 6 in the 74th running of the Ashland.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much. And keep your head down. It's going to get mean out here, it looks like. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Ursel.
Okay, Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can pick one of those up wherever they print a daily racing form. And, of course, it's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. Here comes a lady walking up the walk, Jackie. She just pulled up her horse trailer out front, and maybe she wants to look at her work or something.
Check it out.
See where you are. Yep, that's what she wanted. Wanted to look at the work.
Hunk of Burning Love.
She got a horse named Hunk of Burning Love. Is it half brother to Elvis? All righty. Now, let's see. Let me get some commercials out of the way, and then we can get back in, maybe do a little history, and Jackie can finish up her announcers. Well, DeHare ran a mile at 1:33.3 when he won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, posting a 1:14 buyer. In the Grade 2 Jerome Stakes at Belmont, he blazed the first 6 furlongs in 1:08.1, and he coasted out the mile 1:34.1 for 1:10 buyer. So if you're looking for speed, look to DeHare. Veteran turf rider Steve Haskin described him as freaky fast. If you're looking for a young sire prospect from a proven sire line, well, look to DeHare. He's one of 10 Grade 1 Stakes winners by Awesome Again, the sire of more Breeders' Cup winners than any other active sire. If you're looking for a live female family, well, look to De Hare. It should tell you something that his Grade 1 winning full sister, Spun Sugar, sold at auction for $4,500,000, that his stakes winning dam sold for $2,700,000. Grade 1 stakes winner De Hare, Freaky Fast by a top sire from a female family alive with black type, 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, I want to talk a little bit about my good buddy Jim Fitzgerald down at Knock Griffin Farm. As a matter of fact, he was over, sent his man over this morning to do a little chain hair for me.
Isn't that great? Right before the rain.
Right before the rain. What do you got there, Jackie?
Okay. I was just showing, you know, Hunk of Burning Love?
Yeah.
Burning, B-E-R-N-I-N, it's a Bernstein.
Ah.
There you go.
No wonder that name came back from when I turned it in.
Yep, that would come back.
All right. Well, Jim is just a good neighbor of ours, and I'm proud of that. He owns Knott Griffin Farm down in Bourbon County, and he also owns a really nice farm right over Harper's Island. Just right over the Bourbon County line in Harrison County on 27. And Jim's background is horses. I mean, that's all he's done all his life. Yeah, he went through that Irish National Stud course in Ireland. Of course, he's from Ireland. And he stood under no less a horseman than Dr. Michael Osborne. And he came to work with John Williams. We were talking about John just a little bit earlier, another great horseman. And that was at Spencer Farm. Then he went to manage Lee Eaton's farm, and Lee Eaton is another great horseman. So, boy, he learned under the right guys, and it's paid off for him because he's been very, very successful. And he can do just about anything you need on that farm. He's boarding, sales prep, public and private sales, rehab, you name it. And it's a two great farms that he has down there, and he'd be, if you're looking for a place to board a horse or rest a horse or something, I'd recommend Jim highly. Quality farm help, he wouldn't have anything but, and he can just give you some common sense, sound advice in the business also. Here's Jim's number at Knott Griffin Farm, 987-8032, and his website is knottgriffinfarm.com. Well, Windstar Farm is the home of the successful sires Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Sharp Humor, Sprightstown, and Tisnow. In fact, every Windstar stallion with foals of racing age is ranked among the leading sires in one category or another. Like his stablemates, Spring at Last is receiving every opportunity to become a successful sire. He was bred to over 200 quality mares in his first two seasons at stud. His first foals are yearlings this year, and that adds to his desirability. They look and act like runners. Spring at Last won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, whipping the lights of Einstein and De Hare. He went abroad and won the Grade 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile. Sprinted a mile and won 33-2 at Aqueduct. In fact, he was undefeated at a mile. He out-sprinted Midnight Loot at 7 furlongs. He won on dirt, grass, and artificial, and he earned over $1,139,000. Spring at Last is my silver deputy. He's a half-brother to the Grade 1 Stakes winner Sharp Lisa and to the Grade 2 Stakes winner Sharp Susan. He's out of Daughter of Dinah Farmer, and it's a female family loaded with graded stakes winners. Contact Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. Ask about breeding incentives and check the website at windstarfarm.com. Alrighty, I want to talk a little bit about, while I've got time, the champion two-year-old filly of 1957 and her filly I remember. She was by Edoon. She was by Royal Charger, out of Tiger My Heart, by Bull Lee, bred by Mr. Leslie Combs II and John W. Haynes, and owned by Mrs. Charles Ulrich Bay and trained by Cheryl Ward, which is our present Johnny Ward's uncle. Now, Mr. Ward selected Edoon from for Mrs. Bay at the 1956 Keeneland Summer Sales for $63,000. And that was a record for a yearling filly at the time. And she was the first foal out of Tiger My Heart, who was a full sister to Faultless. Of course, won a Preakness. He was by citation out of a full sister to Lauren, and of course Lauren won the 1938 Kentucky Derby. In fact, he was the first Kentucky Derby winner saddled by Ben A. Jones. Now, Mr. Combs had purchased Tiger My Heart from Neil McCarthy, who had in turn bought her from Calumet Farm. So it was Calumet breeding. She only won one race out of 14 starts. That was Broker Maiden out of Tanforan. Royal Charger, the sire of Edoon, was bought by Mr. Combs from the Irish National Stud and moved to Spencery Farm in 1953. And Edoon was Boca's yearling by John T. Ward Sr., who kept her at Keeneland in his farm out there back on the Keeneland, over by the chute, the 7-furlong chute out there, what do you call it, the beard course. He kept her there until April. Made her first start on the 19th of July at Belmont Park, beat a field of 18, going down the Widener chute. She finished second to Bridgework. In that race, I said she beat a field, but she ran second, got beat a length, but was moved up to first through disqualifications. 12 days later, Bridgework won the Sorority Stakes, so it was a pretty good filly that beat a Sorority, of course, over at Monmouth Park. But, you know, it counted as a win anyway, because they DQ'd the horse that finished in front of her. The next two starts were at Saratoga. She won by 5.5 lengths, going 6 furlongs. And the second was a little bit closer. It was on a muddy track. Sent her to Belmont, and she won by head over Amorial. And then she won the Matron Stakes by 3 lengths. Ran 3/4 and put in 109.3, beating Polly High and Amorial. Sent over to Garden State, and October the 12th, she won the 1 mile Gardenia Trial Stakes by nose over a filly named Quig Flame. Can't remember her to save my life, Quig Flame. Anyway, next start was in the Gardenia, in the mud, field of 15. She opened up a 4-length lead on the backstretch, widened it to 6 on the turn, and then just coasted home. Bill Hartack rode her. Net purse to the winner was $101,750. That was the richest race in the world at that time for 2-year-old fillies. The last start of the year was in the Frisette on October the 30th. And she only had 6 opponents, and none had won stakes. She went off at 1-10, and she ran like it. Easy win. So she finished the season undefeated in 8 starts. She earned $220,955, and she became the leading money-winning filly of all time. She topped Top Flight Racing, Top Flight race for Mr. Whitney, C.V. Whitney. And she was also undefeated as a 2-year-old, and her record earnings were $219,000. She was a champion 2-year-old filly of 1931. She was by a horse named Distonc, D-I-S-D-O-N-C, if I'm not sadly mistaken, was standing at stud at the time down at Claiborne Farm. And Edoon went on as a 3-year-old, won the Mother Goose and the Gazette, and she also won the Masquette. I remember Royal Charger real well. He was a foal in 1942 by Niarco out of Sun Princess. She was a half-sister to Mahmood. Sun Princess was by Solario. Basically, Royal Charger was basically a sprinter at 2 and 3 and was really a better 4-year-old. He was still a sprinter. Won the Queen Stakes and the Ira Gold Cup. But he was probably the best sprinter in Great Britain at that time because it gave him top weights. He was getting beaten several close seconds, but he was giving everything weight. Mr. Combs syndicated him, brought him over. They syndicated him for $300,000. Ended up siring 57 stakes winners. I remember him, a real good-looking chestnut horse. I guess his best sons at stud were turned to, which, good Lord knows, that's good enough, isn't it? He was the sire of Hail the Reason, Sir Gaylord, best turn, first landing. That was his best son at stud, for sure. Royal Orbit was another good one. He won the 1959 Preakness Stakes. He'd run fourth to Tommy Lee in the Derby. Happy Laughter won the 1,000 Guineas. Sea Charger, won the Irish 2000 Guineas in St. Ledger. A Royal Native was a champion handicap mare in this country. Mongo was a champion grass horse. Royal Serenade and Shawneen were both conceived abroad. And I think that's probably why Mr. Combs wanted to get them, because they were racing real good on the West Coast and at that time. And then that's probably why he went to get Royal Charger to bring him over here. Let's see. Table Mate was another one by Royal Charger. Very good. Rainy Lake. I remember Rainy Lake. He also stood at Spendthrift Farm. He was a real pretty horse, never sired much, but he was looked a whole lot like his daddy. Certainly wasn't as good in the stud, that's for sure. And, of course, he was the broodmare sire of Majestic Prince, who was went on to sire some 66 winners. Majestic Prince ran, won the Derby for Johnny Longdon. He also won the Preakness, and then, of course, Johnny didn't want to run him in the Belmont, but his owner said, run him, and that was his last start. So he should have listened to Johnny, shouldn't he? All right, Jackie. Well, let me take care of my Knott Griffin. I just took care of Knott Griffin. Spendthrift Farm here. My good buddy's over there. Wait a minute, your mic wasn't on. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. It is hailing in Shelbyville.
Oh, okay.
So I'd let you know.
Hail the gangs all here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
talk fast.
We'll close down the show here pretty soon and get the hail out of here.
That's
then.
Right.
All right. Well, in the mischief ran a mile and a 16th and 1:40 and 4 to win the grade one $760,000 cash call for Turdy as a 2-year-old. That bettered the time of last year's champion 3-year-old looking at Lucky. In fact, it was the fastest cash call for Turdy in 15 years. That grade one win came after he had sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden at Oaktree. Next year, in 3 starts, he ran second in the grade two San Vicente and the grade one Malibu. Then, after an extended layoff, he blazed 7 furlongs and won 20-1 and won the $113,000 Damascus Stakes. In the Mischief is by Harlan's Holiday. The nation's leading sire 2011 stakes winners was 7. Harlan's Holiday has sired 7 grade one runners. In the Mischief was the first. The most recent, Majestic Perfection, a colt considered by many to be the fastest sprinter in 2010 after he easily defeated Big Drama in the grade one Vanderbilt at Saratoga. First foal's been in the Mischief for yearlings. He has been popular with breeders, so he'll be well represented when his first foals reach the races. And to continue that success, Spendthrift Farm is offering a special breed risk-free program to End the Mischief. So call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee over at Spendthrift Farm. Talk it over with them. Let them explain to you what that means, breed risk-free. Phone number is 294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway.
All righty.
Okay, it's back to me, huh?
Yeah, back to you, huh?
Okay. You know, Sean Dameron is doing Dameron cams right now. And he will come to your farm or workplace or house or whatever, put up cameras, video cameras that you can access either on your computer or on your phone or your iPad, whatever. But what I was thinking of this morning, what is a really, really good idea is if you board mares for people and you put these cameras up, your clients can see the mare, the foal, or the yearling, or whatever you got out there, and they can check them a lot. I think that's a big selling point. That makes people real happy because you don't have to, well, anyway, they'll know what's going on. They'll feel more like a part of it. I just think it's a great idea. So Sean's down in Versailles now, 190 North Main. He's between two churches. Heaven help us. He will see you by appointment. He has retail hours, but he's home about every afternoon, but you need to give him a call. Of course, he's still in the repair, networking, web design business. So 230-6449 is his phone, or go to DameronTech.com on the web and check it out. It's 230-6449. Okay, any day at Keeneland Special, but April 14th is unique. It's Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation Day, sponsored by Great American Insurance. And if you can attend that day, come to their table, sign up. For a special day in the Bluegrass, you get a morning tour of Claiborne, a cratered brunch in the very barn formerly occupied by Man of War, now on Mount Brilliant, and an afternoon of racing in your own box at the track for six. Date of the special day with galala. Anyway, first 500 to register receives a hat commemorating the day. See you April 13th at Keeneland. Jumpstart your Derby celebration, Oaks Eve at Locust Grove. That's Louisville. Thursday, May 5th from 7 to 11. This is for Horse Aid Live. If you want to participate, it's $50, barbecue dinner, two drinks, moonshine, and vodka drink tastings. It's worth the shine for $50. Gee whiz. Anyway, Cindy Greathouse sent us this. Her number is 699-3334 or horseaidlive.org. Next farm manager meeting is Tuesday. That's the 12th at the Red Mile. Guest speakers Tom Amos and Rick Violet and Sean Clancy, moderator. You might still be able to get in if you give them a call. So go to ktfmc.org and get that phone number. Ooh, Chris McCarron's North American Racing Academy is located here, and the Today Show was here and filmed, and they are going to be on the Today Show, that's NBC, Wednesday, May the 4th. That's the Wednesday before the Derby. Sunday, May 8th, which is the day after the Derby, Kentucky Equine Humane Center is having their all-breed charity horse show at Valley High Stables in Versailles. That's Joyce Brinsfield's. Go down Bluegrass Parkway, get off the first exit, that's Route 33, go left, go down to the V in the road, and go left again, and you're right down there. It's, if you want a show bill, it's kyehc.org. Masterson Equestrian Trust Show and Cross Country Schooling is the weekend of the 16th and the 17th. Now, the Hunter Show is Saturday the 16th, the Jumper Show and Cross Country Schooling, and that's on a Sunday. Yeah, okay, I just got a message. I love this. Just got a message. Took 40 minutes, that storm, to go through Louisville to get to Shelbyville, so it's on its way. So just let you know, we all service radio show.
Weather report.
That's it. We need some weather report music. Okay, Toba is having a May 5th new owner seminar at the Derby Museum in Louisville. They have good food there, too. May 27th and 29th is a breeding clinic here in Lexington. Go to toba.org for more info. Like I said, good luck to... Today is Spring Bay Horse Trials at the Horse Park. Going to get a little wet out there, fellas, but that's okay. It'll move through. See, oh, yeah, Michael Blowen, our buddy at Old Friends, received the Sam McCracken Award, Lifetime Achievement, from New England Turf Riders Association, which is pretty neat because he knew the guy when he worked at Boston Globe. Let's see, what else have I got? I've talked about the Tulip Bistro and Bar over in Chevy Chase. You can sit outside. That's pretty neat. We like that a lot. I got 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why am I talking so fast?
I wondered.
He's used to it. Don't let him kid you. Cardinal Hill Telethon is a week from tomorrow. And Cardinal Hill is also a beneficiary co-sponsor this year of the High Hope Steeplechase. Derby is the 7th. The 14th is the Preakness. And the next day. Day after Preakness is always High Hope Steeplechase at the Horse Park. And I got to tell you, Bill Wofford was listening last week when we were talking about the occasions that you seldom get to ride. You actually get to ride in school across the Horse Park grounds, and the foundation sponsors this, Horse Park Foundation. The first one is Sunday, May 15th, and I apologize if it sounded as if I said you could ride on the steeplechase course. You cannot. However, you can ride in the middle, in the infield of the steeplechase
course.
Then
you've got to cross it.
And you've got to cross it to get in. You cross up by...
Did you hear that, Bill?
Yeah, you get to ride on a little bitty part of it. You cross off, I'm pretty sure you cross over up at the steeplechase barn, and then about a 16th from the finish line is a place they put tan bark or something down, so you can cross over there. So, that is Sunday, May 15th. You can do that at the Horse Park. It costs you $35. On Sunday, the session times are 8 till noon and noon to 4, which is about all you can ride out there anyway. 4 hours is plenty. Don't you think? Sure. I've done it several times. It's a lot of fun. You ride up to those monster jumps out there that they actually go over during Rolex, and you just
You mean you don't take a practice run over those things?
No, I don't want that horse's feet off the ground. Keep them down is what I say.
And your butt in the saddle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's getting harder and harder as one gets older and older. Oh, Dixiana has what they call Throwback Mondays. I don't know why they named it that, but they call it the Dixiana Trials.
Because they used to have it back in the 30s and 40s.
They could have called it. They used to have Mondays, but they've got the Throwback Mondays. 16 two-year-olds are going to work every Monday at 10 o'clock, April 1st.
They're all for sale.
30th, they're all for sale. They're two-year-olds in training. Step back in time. All 16 are open for purchase. Pedigree and vet work is available. If you want some more information, you can call Terry Arnold at 983-6562. Broodmare manager Dermot Fagan, 983-5681. As I said, CKRH, my daughter Betsy, with her little brain injury, went to Riding for Hope for the first time last week. We were real interested in how she would do because that's how she got hurt. Horse went down. And she went out, and they're wonderful with them. And this little horse's name was Chico. Chico stood there like a statue. And she climbed up, and she didn't even yelp. She didn't do anything. Of course, they put a person on each side. They had therapists on each side, and the lady was leading Chico, and then there was somebody in the back. And she walked around. They said, finally, she looked, and she said, this is nice. So we were real pleased with that. Anyway, CKRH can always use volunteers. They really like people to volunteer that have stomach horse experience, but they can teach you and show you what to do.
This was after she had said, I'm never going to get on another horse as long as I live.
Exactly. So much for that. But we thought that was a nice hurdle for her to get, so we're going out again. Anyway, they're looking for horses all the time. This little thing was probably 15 hands, I guess. Anyway, you need to check out ckrh.org and see what they need.
Yeah, let me interrupt there.
Hey, I'm finished.
Winners from trainers in the month of April now. Horses that won that were trained by people out here. Marco Castaneda, Jimmy Cargan, Steve Casey, Bobby Sturgeon, Marco Castaneda again, Louis Seglin, Jimmy Cargan, Marco Castaneda again, and Bobby Sturgeon. Now, Marco's wife rode two of those. That was Bonnie Castaneda. She rides out here. She gets on horses out here and everything. And let's see, where did they win? Mountaineer, Mountaineer, Turfway, 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 Mountaineer, Mountaineer, Mountaineer. Marco won two at Mountaineer. Those are the ones that Bonnie rode. And then one at Turfway Park.
Yeah, and Mountaineer's no, you don't sneeze at Mountaineer either, because that horse shipped in from Mountaineer and won that stake yesterday.
Oh, I guess we better wrap it up here.
Okay,
so thanks for listening.
Be up on the internet.
Mary Jane, thank you down in the studio, and Ressie, thank you here in the clocker stand.